Let's just ask God to bless his word. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord, that you sent it to encourage us, Lord, to build us up, Lord, even sometimes to chastise us. But Lord, whatever your purpose is tonight, I pray that we will be accomplished through your word. Lord, I pray that we will be doers of your word as well as hearers. Lord, that we will rightly apply it to our lives through your Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, as you know, I try to put a title to my sermons, and I thought of a title for this one. You may not understand it yet, but you probably will later. So, Gary, if you want to put that first slide on, please. Tonight's title is Applied Tetic. Now, I don't know if anybody's ever heard of that. Not pathetic, that's me. No, but Applied Tetic. I thought like a good title like this might make me appear to be intelligent, but that's probably more than this title can do. But before I tell you what it is, I'm going to tell you what it does. Tetic can transform your whole way of life. The right applying of tetic can transform your friendships. The right applying of tetics can transform your relationships and even your marriage and your family. Tetic can transform your work life. It can transform your home life. More than anything, it can transform our spiritual life. So I think it's worth listening to, isn't it? Hopefully. Tetic can be applied to every minute of your life and can transform your whole way of thinking. Have I got your interest? You're interested to find out what it is? I'll tell you why I've come to do this sermon to start with. First of all, God put this word into my life about 6 weeks ago. And I've tried to apply the principle of tetics to my life. And I have to say, it's incredibly difficult. So I'm not asking you to do something where I haven't tried to do. And I might explain that a little bit more later. It's not until I have tried to apply this principle to my life that I realised how hard it was and how wrong sometimes my thinking is. So I have to say tonight that I'm speaking from experience, having myself been challenged by God in this area. So I'm only bringing it to you, not second hand, but something that's affected my life, and I wanted to share it with you. So to be honest, I'm probably only at 50% completion in applying tetics to my life, if even that. So, during this sermon, first of all, don't think I'm getting at you or chastising you. I'm just sharing something that God has sort of put in my life and told me to try. So it was originally for me, and I feel it's right to share with you tonight. So I hope God blesses you and you can apply it maybe to your life through the Holy Spirit. That's if you need it. But I'm going to be faithful to what God has told me to do and bring it. As we all know, there's not many things that completely transform our whole life, is there? But one of them is the Word of God. One of them is the rightly applied work of God in our lives, inspired by the Holy Spirit. That can transform our lives. So I just want to read you a few verses from 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to read from verse 4 to verse 6. Mine's the New King James Version, so it might be slightly different than yours. But 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 to 6. So this is what it says. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Amen. So what is tetic? Going to put that PowerPoint for you on, Gary? Yeah, explains it. Tetic is something that I've made up to help you maybe remember this principle tonight. taking every thought into captivity. Tetic. Turn to the person at your side and tell them what tetic is and what it means. Yeah, you turn to the chair and tell that chair. Tetic is taking every thought into captivity. Maybe you've looked at these verses before and it's quite easy to skip over because you get lost in the spiritual warfare part of it. But taking every thought into captivity isn't an easy thing to do, as I found out. It rolls off the tongue pretty easy. Its application is much harder if you're brave enough to give it a go. So, if we're going to take every thought into captivity, what would be the starting point in our lives? How would we start doing this if we don't already do it? Yeah, well, I thought every morning at the end of our prayers, maybe saying something like, Lord, help me to take every thought into captivity that it isn't, that it's of you, and to think right thoughts inspired by your Holy Spirit. Something on them lines, wouldn't you? Lord, ask God to help us get our thinking right and our thinking straight, in line with His thinking. That will be a start to the day of tetics, and that's what I try to do when I finish my prayers. I ask God to try and help me to get my thinking right in the day. I must say, I fail miserably. See how you do. Don't condemn me till you see how you do. I'm going to ask you to do something now, and I want you to do it extremely honestly, even if it seems a bit embarrassing. Right, I want you to try and do it honestly. If while you've been in church tonight, you have thought something about someone or something that you wouldn't want to say out loud, put your hand up. If you be honest, be truthful, have you thought something about someone or something that you wouldn't say out loud or be known out loud? Thank you for them that's put the hand up. It's me as well. Yeah. Listen to this one then. If you, while we were praising God, drifted off into the thoughts of the day or other things, put up your hand now. Quite a few more. If you, during the course of this sermon, have already shut off or lost concentration, put up your hand now. Right, you can leave now. This is a good one. I've done this today, I've got to admit. If you have ever thought about anyone, what an idiot. Put your hand up. If you ever thought about anyone, what an idiot that person is. Hands and feet, yeah. So when you pretty much look at who put the hands up, if you did, I probably saw most people. I could have put my hands up to all of those because that's what God's pulled me up on. Think about the other side. If today all of your thoughts have been good and encouraging and in line with God's heart, put up your hand now. That's no rogue thoughts whatsoever today. No wrong thoughts. Nothing. See the difference? No one will put up their hand, can they? Because we all fall short of the glory of God. We all drift into thoughts which are not of God sometimes. So when you think about tetics, which means, yeah, it's hard, but I have found it worthwhile, even though I've got to tell you I'm not good at it yet. In fact, what it actually did was that I realised how often I probably offended God by wrong thinking. When you start actually concentrating on what you're thinking, if you know what I mean, it sounds strange, and thinking about the words that you're saying, you'd be surprised. We think what is in our thoughts. We think that no one knows that, don't we? But it's completely wrong, as we all also know. I'm just going to read you four verses from Psalm 139. You'll know this one well. O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path, my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. There is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You find that a scary prospect? You know that God not only understands the word you're saying, he understands your thoughts. Even the words that you don't speak, God knows. The things that you are thinking every minute of every day, God knows. So even though we may think nobody knows our thoughts, we as Christians believe that God does know our thoughts, don't we? Would we still think the same thing if Jesus was sat at the side of us going like that? Who knows? The other, not scary thing, but thing what you might not think of sometimes is God also knows what we dream about. You know, how we dream, and God can use dreams, can't he? We've been looking at that in the life of Joseph. Let's just have a closer look at 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 4 to 6. I'll just read them again to refresh you. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Look to the title at the top of chapter 10 on mine, it says spiritual war. And we don't want to take this verse out of context. It is a spiritual warfare verse, but it's talking about a spiritual war in us. It may be a war that wages in our thoughts. You know, before you do 99% of the things that you do and the things that your body does, you think about them. Some things seem to happen automatically, like our breathing and our heart beating and things like that. But most of the other things, we have to think about them before it happens. This verse tells me that we have the capability to pull down any strongholds if we rely on God and the Holy Spirit to help us. So what are strongholds? Strongholds in this are any things that set themselves against God and his plans and the things that God wants us to do. What sometimes we don't realise is that even as Christians, sometimes we maybe have things in our lives which aren't in line with God's plan for us. And they might not even be bad things. We might just be going the wrong way. Verse 5 seems to talk about the battle for our minds and thoughts. Seems to talk about what's going on in our heads. In my version it says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That word there, casting down arguments, is well interpreted as imaginations. Casting down imaginations, things of the mind, things that we can think about, you know, what aren't real yet or never will be real sometimes, but the things that we imagine, the things that we think about, God's Spirit can cast those down if they're not right in us. Anything that is not a good thought. So my question is, can we through God control our minds and thoughts and remove anything that isn't pleasing to him? Do we think today that we may have had some of those thoughts that weren't pleasing to God? I probably will have. So what we need to do is, tetic, as it says here, take every thought into captivity. And it's an hard thing to do. When it says into captivity, it means to arrest it, or to grab it and lock it away, get rid of it. So in other words, arrest the bad thoughts as soon as they start, before they get into a flow, so that, you know, it's stopped dead. Our whole body is controlled by our brain and our thoughts. And our brain can make our body do all sorts of things that maybe even we don't want to do, you know, because our brains and our mind has got, you know, stirring up and doing things that thought is the start of everything that we do. So as Christians, it's important to try and control our thoughts with the power of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, and using the Word of God as our guide. The hard thing is that tetics is something that we have to do ourselves, because it tells us to take every thought into captivity. It doesn't say that God will do it for us. It says that we have to do it. What thoughts should we take into captivity? Well, produce a big list. I'm not going to. But immoral thoughts, evil thoughts, they're the obvious ones, aren't they? What we could think about. But maybe we don't have any of those. You know, maybe we're good thinking people. But what about doubt? Doubt's a thought. When Jesus told Peter that he was going to go to the cross, Peter says, oh no, you're not. You're never going to the cross. And what did Jesus say to Peter? Get behind me, Satan. The thought, the doubt thought, was evil, wasn't it? Even though Peter, we would say, was a good Christian, weren't we? What would you say about saying no to God when God has clearly told you to do something? That's a bad thought, isn't it? What about if you're thinking that this sermon is rubbish and isn't from God? Is that a bad thought? Those kind of thoughts need taken into captivity, don't they? Stopping as soon as they start. It says here, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God are our conscience. That's who we have to obey, don't we? Just want to bring two more readings tonight. I'm not going to say much about them, but these readings both confirm this word about taking every thought into captivity. First one is in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Listen to this one. Gary's preached on this quite a lot. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be transformed by the renewing of our minds. That is one of the major ways that God transforms us into the people that we need to be, the people that need to do what we need to do, by transforming our minds to be like His. The renewing of our minds, getting rid of the old stuff, God putting His thoughts in, by reshaping our thinking to His will. That's how we prove, it says there, the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. We'd like to do that, wouldn't we? We would like to be the people that, yeah, we do that. We're proving God's acceptable will and perfect will. I'm afraid I fall a long short. I fall well short in this practice of taking every thought into captivity. You know, I drift, I think things wrong. This one from Philippians 4, verse 8 and 9. You'll know this one well. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Tells you there the things to think on, doesn't it? To help us with this problem of taking every thought into captivity. What I challenge you to do is this week to have a go at this. I'll give you an even shorter period if you want. When you leave here, you're going there for a drink tonight. Just try and put this principle into practice, taking every thought into captivity, and see how long you last before your thoughts think of something that really didn't ought to be there. Something that if God was actually sat there, you wouldn't be able to speak. This week, try and do it over a week and see. I was amazed. I've really tried to do this a lot, you know, and I was absolutely amazed how many thoughts I had where I thought, God wouldn't mind me thinking that. So I'm being honest with you, but you try it. I think while, like me, you will find it hard but worthwhile, you may be surprised how many times that we offend God by our thoughts. We'll just leave it to God's Holy Spirit to hopefully we can apply it to our lives, taking every thought into captivity. Amen.